Good morning.
Morning.
Brother Larry. Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. I forgot to get ushers this morning. Need some volunteers. LD, Kirk, Steve, and Russ, would y'all volunteer? Thank you. Okay. We expect you to be back there. Your announcements in your bulletin this morning are several. First of all, there's no youth today because of Father's Day. In the bulletin this morning, there's an article on the start of Father's Day, which I didn't realize how that got started. It's in the bulletin. There's also an insert with daily devotionals, prayers for the week. It's called Taking Faith Home. You might look at that. It's inside the outline for the sermon today. Let's see. There's an adult fellowship group tonight that's going to the Nashville Community Concert Band at Centennial Park, if anybody would like to go. Personally, Pam and I are going to head back down to Bonnaroo. Let's see. Larry, is there anything else you want to announce, or is it all in the bulletin?
It's in the bulletin. The General Assembly meets this week, starting this afternoon. The meeting, I guess, orientation for the workers at 2 o'clock in Birmingham. Melvin will be going as a delegate from Columbia Presbyterian. I'm going as a visitor. Jessica is going as a youth delegate from, I think they're commissioners. They're not delegates. It's the same. Youth advisor delegate to Youth R, and she'll be representing Columbia Presbyterian Youth. Two elders and two preachers. I'm going just to visit.
Okay.
Politics or whatever.
Has the registration booklet been passed out?
Now.
Good. Do we have any prayer or praise requests today? Anybody? On who? And I'm sorry, what was the first name? Seth Bush?
Accident. Motorcycle.
That's the motorcycle.
And I have a friend, her name is Molly Piper, and she's a young person, a lot younger than us, about 40 years old probably, with a brain tumor. We're going to operate on her this coming Friday.
Yes. David Turner.
Mary Gardner, our neighbor in Johnson's Lake Service, eye problem. A throat is only as highly as it. We'll work on that Thursday, I think.
Is there anybody else? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Answer the Bible. Her name, please. And what was her name? there anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? I'm not. Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's pause for a moment. Silent prayer, getting ready for worship. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our call to worship this morning is responsive reading in the hymnal. It's number 558. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow, the hills are clothed with gladness.
The mountains are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for you and sing.
He makes grass grow for the cattle, and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Turn in your hymnals, please, to number 64.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. The burning sun with golden beam, the silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sit from heaven along. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise, rejoice, ye lights of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia. blessed man, both warmth and light. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. 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 The last verse. Let all and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Join me for prayer. Lord God, we come to praise You, but we need Your Spirit to move in our hearts and lives, in ourselves, that we might be able to express ourselves. Lord, we know that Your Word calls us, and now we just thank You that Your Spirit enables us and gives us the ability, but also the courage just to stand and sing Alleluia, Alleluia. Thank You, Lord, for Your creation, that we can be a part of it. Lord, that You created us, allowed us to be alive, exist, and hopefully make a mark into the world of some sort that is positive and good. Lord, we thank You for creation around us. And Lord, we pray that You will continue to move in us, that we may know Your presence and know that You are the giver of every good thing. And Lord, that You are the one that watches over and cares for us. Now, Lord, we offer this, our prayer, in the name of Jesus, and praying now as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us state our faith. The Apostles' Creed, it's 7:16, or it should be displayed to my left, and then we'll sing the Gloria. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our call to confession this morning is from Romans 5, verse 12. Just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. We would now confess in unison, God of grace, love, and communion, we confess that we have failed to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We ignore your commandments, stray from your way, and follow other gods. Have mercy on us, forgive our sin, and raise us to a new life, that we may serve you faithfully and give honor to your holy name. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness from Romans 5. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Hymn number 66.
Let's sing first and last stanzas. First and last.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So rocky the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
You know, when we give each other praise for things that we've done, aren't we excited about it? Aren't we excited if our children hit a home run? If our husband or wife gets a promotion at work, aren't we excited about it? We're trying to give God the glory this morning. I don't see much excitement out there. I know it's early and half of us have got the crud. But we're supposed to be honoring God here today. He's great. He's done great things. He's been good to me. I acknowledge it. I hope you will too. So let's do a little better. Okay? Last verse.
Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see.
Here we go.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
That was a little better.
Thank you.
Expressing thanks to God, it's a time we've come recognition of fathers. Larry, you know more about this.
Well, the men of the church, basically, and who has the... Okay, there they
in
are.
Front.
Right there. If you two ladies will present each man in the church a token, and I think it says on it, man of God, and that's the challenge, that you be a better man of God. We have some young people who are aspiring to be men of God. We hope that they are, and we want to recognize them too. And this is compliments of the women's ministry of the church. And I tell a little, well, The women get a devotional book. Men are not as usually, normally, as good of readers as are interested in reading devotionals as women are. So they have a pen, so they can maybe write some devotionals, and maybe next year you'll do this. Well, this is just kind of off the cuff, but it would really work. That the men write, use this pen to write something about, and we're talking about the goodness of God today, and His gifts to us, and write something about how God has blessed you. And put an offering plate if you want to, or maybe next week put an offering plate or next week, and we'll know that you are using your token of appreciation for your service to the kingdom of God to glorify Him. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Pam, I appreciate you recognizing me, but there's two other fathers up here.
We'll be here at 10:15 too, though.
Hey, she was thinking about number one. What can I say? Peggy, I believe it's your time.
Seems like it's been my lot to sing on special occasion Sundays, like Easter when I didn't sing an Easter song, and Father's Day when I don't have a Father's Day song. So the song I'm going to sing, though, is just one of my favorites. And I'm thankful that the God of the universe, who watches little bitty sparrows, can watch over us and take care of us. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for help and hope, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes are the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes are the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. I draw to me from cares, He sets me free. For His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow,
song as you could choose. Our offertory sentence today comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. May ushers come forward, please.
Thank you. turn in our hymnals to hymn 544. Try to learn a new one. It's not the old standby, by and by, but we'll do that. Play a little bit of that for us, please, ma'am. All right, let's try it right there. I think we're going to pick this up real good. Here we go.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand, and the way that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. He will guide us with His eye, and we'll follow when we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, come before He comes. When the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome. And it's better by and by.
We'll understand it better by and by.
Pam Baker will read the scripture.
Our scripture today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 6 through 18. Observe the commands of your Lord, your God, walking in His ways and revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you in a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when you, your herds and flocks grow large, and you, your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You might say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands are produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers, as it is today. The next part comes from Psalms chapter 44, verses 1 through 3. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. The last part comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all.
The word of God for the people of God. Thank you. Thank you, Jacob. I want to talk about success this morning. Not success as you might hear success on the television if you turn to certain preachers, but that's part of it. They are claiming one thing that I can't find in the Bible, and maybe they're just better Bible students than I am. But let's still talk about the success that we have already experienced, or that we are anticipating experiencing. Let's pause a moment. Jim said it, but let me state it again. The song about the eye being on the sparrow may be the best Father's Day song that we could have, Peggy, because it talks about God the Father watching over us, and that's basically what I'm trying to get over in the message today. And I realize that this is not new to any of you. If we've been in church our lives, most of our lives, much of what we hear in sermons, even in Sunday school, is a review, but a reaffirmation and encouragement and urging on to stick with the program. It is real, or a reminder. So I don't claim to come in with anything new this morning or any other morning. I might have a new insight for me that I want to let you know that I have an insight. The sermon title and the scripture lesson and the songs, they give away, or they tell you, the direction I'm going with this sermon and what I've already said. How did you become successful? That is, if you already have. And if you have not yet become successful, or in your mind successful, you might want to look around. You may be more successful than you think you are, or than you thought you were. But if you're not there yet, how do you expect to become successful or more successful? And I'm guessing that all of us want to have some degree of success, at least in our own mind, in our own thinking. We want to be successful. We may not be successful, and may not even want to be successful about our neighbor down the street, but we need to be successful, at least to know that we have not wasted the years that God has given to us. Then there's the question of what is successful, or what is success. I look at success one way, and another person will look at success a different way. We don't all aspire to the same goals, and aren't we glad? Our success, mine and yours, that's the only one we can really deal with today, I believe. Be our success great, or be our success small? The scriptures teach us, God's word, the Bible, and God speaking to his people as is recorded in the Bible, our success is intended to reflect God. The moon. The moon is real successful, right? It shines every night, does it not? We may not see it every night, but the moon, we know, you know, has no light of its own. The moon cannot shine by itself. It reflects the sun. S-U-N. The sun shines on the moon, and it reflects back to us, and we see it. And we could probably get by without the moon reflecting the sun. We have some nights that we don't see the moon, and it's dark. But aren't we pleased when we see that big full moon? Sometimes we call it a harvest moon. That is, if it comes in the fall. And it seems to be clearer and brighter and more romantic. The October moon. But it also shines in the summertime and in the springtime. Maybe that's why in the springtime young men's heart, minds turn to thoughts of love. And women too. Maybe the beauty of the moon reflecting the light of the sun. Well, us and God, you and God, me and God, we have no light of our own. We might talk about not being the brightest bulb in the house or something like that. Well, none of us have any brightness of our own. Actually, when we talk about being bright bulbs in the house or in the package or something or on the Christmas tree, we're talking about our lack of intelligence, aren't we? But it might have to do with the way we shine with our relationship with God. We have nothing to show of our own. It's only as God shines on us. And that may be new to some of us. I don't think it is, though. The Jerusalem Bible translates 2 Corinthians 3:18 as a call for us who belong to God, the church. This was a letter to the church that the Apostle Paul wrote. And he called on the church, or the people in the church. That's what is the church, right? The people. He called on these people in the Corinthian church to live reflecting like mirrors the brightness of the Lord. That's not a bad call for us. Not a bad admonition or urging. Let us live not like we are the star of the show, but that we are reflecting the brightness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we must say, God the Father, but they are one. There's two revelations of the same God. Someone has referred to the church, the Christians in the world, as God's advertising agency. And it's our task as God's advertising agency to promote God. Like an advertising agency promotes Snap, Crackle, and Pop. What was that for? Or you only go around once. I think that product finally ceased to be, though. Can you think of yourself as an advertising agency for God? and allow all of your life, and it's even your success, to reveal God's glory, God's power, God's watch care, God's concern, God's control, if you will. Moses called on the children of Israel. We refer to them, but these were adults too. Moses called on these people that he had led from Egypt and was almost to the promised land. Somebody complained the other day that Moses led the people for 40 years and got to the entrance into the promised land, and God said, "You can't go in." And that's right. This guy was suggesting that God might not be fair. Well, he was. And he still is. But Moses called on these people after they got to the promised land to always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you power to become rich. And he knew that they were going to enter into the land of Canaan, and we know it as the land of Israel now. And he knew that they were going to become rich. They couldn't help it. And he said, "When you get there, I won't be with you." He wasn't telling them that, but that was in the back of his mind. I think he knew that he wouldn't get to go in. "When you get there and when you get settled in this land, don't forget God. Because it's God who gives you the power to become rich. Don't think that you are self-made people, because you're not." That's what he was saying. And that's a good message for us today. And God does this, Moses reminds the people, to fulfill the covenant that he made back with Abraham some 400 years prior to when Moses is talking. The one he had made with the ancestors. So the question is today, from where does success come? From where did the success of the Israelites come? It came from God. Where does our success come as individuals, as individual families, or our success as a community of believers, or the church? Where does any success that we have come from? Is it from our own toil? If we think that it's from our own toil and our own smartness and our own brightness, we've got another think coming. And God, back to Israel, God blessed Israel in order to show that he was a faithful God and that he did keep his promise, no matter how long it might be. When the Israelites saw the fruitful farms of the promised land, God wanted them to realize that he had provided it. And when the enemies of the Israelites, and there were many enemies around, when the enemies of the Israelites saw the fruitfulness and the productivity of the farm land in Israel, he wanted them to think about God and not about what industrious people the Israelites were. And I proclaim that every success was made for the glory of God. Every success was for the glory of God. God gives us success. And one person put it, God lets us succeed so that we can make Him known. So they call us in front of the American TV audience and said, How did you become successful? And what God wants us to say, because He made it possible, is it's of the Lord. One writer said of this idea that God will make you good at something, and we can be sure of that. The writer of Proverbs spoke
arose true humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and a long life. But everybody can't handle success. Did you know that? Oftentimes I think, and many times I have said, that success has ruined a lot of people because they forget where their success comes from, or they don't even know. They don't acknowledge. A number of kings of Israel showed that they could not handle success. They did not allow their success to glorify God, so it soon came to the end. They failed at success, or success ruined them. Success, yes, it ruins a number of people. Some of the kings of Israel that allowed success to ruin them: Nadab. You don't know about Nadab much, do you? Elah, Omri, Azariah, Jehoram. Well, we know about Ahab. Probably we know about Ahab because of his wife. She was really the star of the show. Ahab. They made it to the top in their country. They were kings of Israel. All we know about Ahab is how bad he was, right? Or became. They failed. It was a flop. Their reign was a flop. They forgot the source of their success. They forgot the purpose of their success. That their purpose of their success was to glorify God. It says of King Nadab, the scriptures do, 1 Kings 15, he did evil. Now he was of the descendants of Abraham, descendants of Jacob. He was one of these who had been led back from the descendants of those who had been led back from the promised land. I mean, from Egypt to the promised land. And God had established them with Saul first, and King Saul forgot where his success came from, if he ever knew. And then King David and King Solomon. And Solomon began to, David had lapses of memory, or lapses of memory, maybe more than one. And then Solomon came along, and he had some lapses of memory, pretty serious one. But he was still somewhat faithful to God. But it says of Nadab that he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin, which he made Israel sin. His father had led the people into sin, and he followed the pattern that his father had set. Too often, such successful people fail, and fail miserably, at giving God the glory. Somehow success in many lives just wipes clean their memory, like a failed hard drive. Just wipes it out. There's a story of the flea and the elephant. The flea was a passenger on the elephant. The flea was resting on the ear of the elephant. And they were traveling through the jungle, and they came to a ravine, chasm, and it had the ravine had a rickety bridge over it, an old wooden bridge. It was dangerous, but the elephant went across it anyway. But going across it with his weight and the condition of the bridge, he made all kind of noise. Some of you can remember traveling over wooden bridges in a wagon pulled by mules, or in an automobile where the boards were flopping.
So the elephant went across the bridge, and it was a noisy thing, a noisy experience. They got across the bridge, and the flea said, "Boy, we really did make a lot of noise going across that bridge, did we not?" Well, the flea hadn't done anything but ridden. He had ridden on the elephant. The elephant made all the noise, but as soon as he got across, the flea forgot that he didn't have any part in it. The elephant had done it all. Sometimes people forget that God is the giver of every good thing, and we think that we have created it. We are just as forgetful as that forgetful flea. The doctor who begged God for help to get him through med school, suddenly he becomes successful and is too busy to worship God. The family who struggled and leaned on God for daily bread, but after things got better, they failed to talk to God. They failed to invite God into that big house with two cars in the garage. The church, a church, a congregation getting started. The people will pray much, "Lord, help us to get started. Bless your new work here." But the church becomes comfortable, successful, if you will, and you get the message. Sometime even the church forgets to continue to lean on God. We depend on the people. Do people have to forget God? Is it a requirement of success that we forget God? King David, yes, he had his problems, but King David gave God the glory for his success. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12 is printed for you. "Riches and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is at your discretion that people are made great and given strength." Pick up your scripture lesson, if you will. Psalm 44. I'd like to read verse 3. Psalm 44 is right there before you. NIV version, verse 3. The psalmist reminds the people who will read or listen, and they may have used this for a song somewhere along the way, "It was not by their sword that they won the land," and that's the land of Israel. They were looking back to when the people settled the land. "It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them." A frog story. The frog wanted to go from one frog pond to the next, but it was too far and too dry. So he devised a plan to get two birds to each carry a stick. And he would bite on the stick, and they would transport him from one frog pond to the next, where he could live happily ever after, maybe. Or maybe he'd get kissed to become a prince. We don't know what he had in his mind. But the two birds agreed, and they agreed to take the stick and let him chomp down on the stick, and he would be transported to the new frog pond. And they took off, and they were up in the sky, but they were over land, and someone looked up and said, "Well, I wonder who thought of that." And the frog couldn't help but let them know how smart he was. So he opened his mouth and said, "I," and you know the rest of the story. Someone said that pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. Folks, If I've got any success, it's certainly not of my own strength. I've said it before, I wasn't supposed to make it, according to a lot of people, as a preacher. But He's allowed me to try and hang in there for almost 40 years. I know where my success comes from. Let's think about God watching over us, caring for us, for the beauty of the earth. For the beauty of the earth. It's number 560. He wants to sing verse 1 and 5. And we're just attributing everything around us to God. Stand with me.
That's one.